We're on Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, and we're seven lines down from the top. We are darshaning double languages in the Pasuk, and we're up to Ir HaNidachas, which is a city that was judged as an idol-worshipping city. Most of the city had worshipped Avodah Zorah, and the Misa, the punishment is Misa Asayif, whereas an individual who's guilty of the same crime is Dino Beskila. The Torah says in Dvarim Yud Gimel, in the Parsha of Ir HaNidachas, Hake Sake Es Yoshvei Ha'ir Hahi Lefi Charev, a double language Hake Take. Ainli Ela Behakok Suva Behen, I would think that the only way you could put to death this city is through Saif. That's their Misa. Minayin She'im Iyata Yochol Lahamison Behakok Suva Behen Shata Rashoila Kosom Bechol Hakosh Atayochol. If it's impossible to put them to death in that way, in the prescribed way, that Saif, we put them to death in any way possible. And this is something similar we saw in the case of Rotzeach, which we just had recently. A Rotzeach, it was impossible to put him to death with the Misa Ksuva, which was Saif. He's running away. Then you're allowed to shoot him with an arrow and kill him in a different way because there's no other option. Here too, in the case of Ir HaNidachas, how do we know that if Saif is not an option, we kill him in any way? And the answer is Talmud Lomar, Hake Sake Mikol Mokum, the double language of Sake. So we have two cases now in which the Torah was Merabah, Ribso, Bahen, Torah Chayve Misos. We also have a parsha of Gol Hadam, with the Gol. Gol Adam is allowed to kill the Rotzeach, that's the Sugyan Sanhedrin, is Nogim Bo B'chol Misa, and we go beyond the Dalad Misas Bezdin. However, with regard to other Chayve Misas Bezdin, other than Rotzeach and Ir HaNidachas, the Halacha singles out the Misa, and if it's impossible to implement that particular Misa, then we go to the other four Misos Bezdin, but we can't go beyond the circle of those four Misos Bezdin which the Torah recognizes. Now we go on to a case of a double language in the parasha of Hashavas Mashkon, that means if a malve, a lender, extends a loan to a lova, he's allowed to take a mashkon through the offices of Bezdin. It means that when the time for payment comes around and the lova who borrowed this money is not paying, he's not forthcoming, then the malva has recourse to go to Bezdin, and Bezdin can confiscate a piece of property, or in this case, let's say, metaltalin, some sort of object of value from the lova, and pass it on to the malva. That's one din. Then within the context of that din, the Torah gives a mitzvah incumbent upon the malve to return the mashkon to the lova during a time when the lova needs to use the mashkon. For example, in Dvarim Chav Dalet Pasuk Yud Aleph, the Torah says, "Bachutz tamod va'ish asher ata noshev bo yotzi eilecha sa'avod hachutza." And the Gemara is going to tell us that from that pasuk, we're talking about a shliach bezdin, who is the agent of bezdin, who's coming to the lova and collecting a mashkon from the lova. And in that same context, in Pasuk Yud Gimel, it says that after the Shliach Beis Din confiscates the mashkon on behalf of the malve, Hoshev Toshiv Lo Es Ha'Avot Kivo HaShamesh. When it's evening time, the Torah requires that the malve return the mashkin to the love, so that he, the love, could use it at night. Now, the language of the pasuk is Hoshev Toshiv. Ainli Ela, what's the double language? Shechayev. We only know that the Torah requires the malva to return the mashkin to love at night. In what case? Ella. The Torah itself in that context is talking about Shem Mishkino Bishus Bezdin, that the malva took the lova to Bezdin. And through the agency of Bezdin, a mashka was collected by the shliach of Bezdin. What about Mishkino Shalo Bishus Bezdin? Now here's a case where the malva, instead of having recourse to Beis Din, he took the law into his own hands, and he illegally confiscated a mashkon from the reshus of the lova without permission, neither through Beis Din nor through the permission of the lova. Minayin, how do we know, because that's not in the parish itself, that at nighttime he, the malva, is obligated to return the mashkon to the lover. Talmud Lomer, Hoshev, Toshiv, Mikomakom. The double language tells us that even in the case of Mishkino, Shalobershus Bezdin, he, the malv, has to return the mashkon to the lover. The Shittim Kubetzes is wondering about the need for this extra pasuk in this Dialfusa. Is it possible that a person who illegally usurps the object of his friend, the mashkin of the lova, should be on a better status? He's odif from someone who gets a mashkin b'rshus bezdin. In the case of someone who gets a mashkin b'rshus bezdin, then he's obligated to return the mashkin to the lova. But not in the case of someone who is notel shalo b'rshus bezdin. Very strange kind of Havamina. And the Shittim Kubetzes answers that there was a possibility of saying that in the case of Notel Shalobershus Bezdin, there's no obligation to return the Mashkon, because if he does so, the Lova is going to maintain permanent possession over this Mashkon. He's not going to be forthcoming, he's not willing to give back the Mashkon. He never agreed to give a mashkin to begin with. And not only that, he, the lova, has no fear of Beis Din. And maybe in this case there's going to be a whole battle here where the malva is going to try to pull out the lova's mashkin against his reshus, the lova is going to refuse, who knows what's going to happen at the end of this brawl. But also keep in mind from a technical technical perspective, the context in which this parasha of Hashavas HaMashkin Hoshev Teshiv Lo Es Ha'Avot appears is in the context of Bachutz Tamod Va'ish, etc. And that's talking about the Shliach Bezdin who's coming to collect a mashkon. So that's Bishus Bezdin. The Shittim Kubetz is just giving a svara to explain why the Torah would have formulated this requirement of Hashavas HaMashkon in the case of, and only in the case of, a Shliach Bezdin, of Bishus Bezdin. Now, Tosus points out that we should take this sugya within the context of the universal issue, which is the famous Machlokas Abai for Rav at the beginning of Temura, of Kol Man Diyom Rachmona Lo Savadi Ovid Mahani Ovid Lo Mahani. According to the Man Diyomar, who says the Ovid Mahani, the Havamin of this Gemara before the extra Toshev is very logical, because if he took the Mashkon against the will of the Loven without the Rishus of Beis Din, that taking of the Mashkon is meaningful. And he took the law into his own hands, and he violated the law of the Torah, the Mr. Malva, by taking this Mashkon. But nevertheless, his Kinyan Mashkon is meaningful, because he Ovid Mahani. And therefore, we have a strong Havamina to say that he doesn't have to return the Mashkon. He set up his own rules of Mashkon. And say he's not playing by the rules of the Torah. Now, according to the Man Yomu, says that Kol Mashomer Achmona Lo Savidi Ovid Lo Mahani, which means the Torah doesn't recognize his Asiyah when it's against the Halacha, then we would have had a Havamin to say that he has to return the Mashkin, period. What he did by usurping the law, by taking the law into his own hands, is totally meaningless. He has no right to this mashka whatsoever. Let him return it to the lofer until such time as he receives Rishus Beis Din. And here the Torah is being mechadish with the extra word toshev, that he's allowed to hold on to the mashkon up until nighttime, until kivo hashemesh, when he has to return the mashkon. Now the Gemara raises the following question. We have a double language in the parasha of Mashkon elsewhere in the Torah, back in Parashas Mishpatim and Sefer Shmos. And why the repetition? There the Torah says, Im chavol tachbol samlas reyecha ad bo ha-shemesh tishivenu lo. Ainly Ella Mishkano Birshus Bezdin, but Mishkano Shalo Birshus Minayin Tamaloma Chavol Tachbol Mikol Makom. There too, where the Torah says Tishivenolo Ad Bo Ashomesh, which means before daybreak in the morning, you have to return this Mashkon. We're talking about Chavol Tachbol. The Lashon Chabolah always indicates somebody who goes into someone else's Rishus without permission, and he takes this Mashkon. This is based on a Rashi later on in Masechta Bava Metzia. Lo Tachbol Rechaim V'Rechev. There also, Rechaim V'Rechem. Rechev is a case where the Chabolah was when someone went into his friend's house to take rechayim v'rechev, which are utensils that a stationer usually designated in a certain place. Now, Tosfos points out here that Shmuel, later on, is of the opinion that when a shliach Beis Din comes to take a mashkon, to collect a mashkon on behalf of Beis Din, he's not allowed to enter into the house of the lover. He meets the lover in the shuk outside of his house. Then he could take away a mashkon from the hands of the lover. So the shliach Beis Din who goes into the bayis, into the house of the lover, that's also shelo kedin. And therefore we should ask the question, what's the difference between birshus and shelo birshus? If the Torah itself is addressing the parasha of a shliach Beis Din, that includes both nichlas le. That includes both roes es halova b'shuk, which is legal, and nichlas le beis halova, which is not kiddin, shalo kiddin. And yet the Torah requires hashavas hamashko. So Tosfos goes to a long presentation here with a machlokes tanoim, and Shmuel. Later on in Masechta Bava Metzia on Kuf Yud Gimel is of the opinion that the Braisa goes according to this Braisa that we're learning goes according to the Man Yomer that Shliach Beis Din is allowed to go into the house of the Bayis, and that's why we need a special Ribui for Hashavas HaMashkin in the case of Notlo Shelo Birshus. Vahani tarti kroi lomali. The Gemara says, why do I need the double language twice? Once Hashav Toshiv in Dvarim Chaf Dalet, and one Chavol Tachbol in Parshas Mishpatim in Sefer Shmos. Both of them are telling me the same halacha, that is a chiyuv hashavas hamashkon, even when the mashka was taken shelo b'rshus. And the Gemara answers chad l'ksus yom, and chad v'chad l'ksus laila. If you read the psukim carefully, you'll see that the parasha in Dvorim, it says kivo hashemesh, when the sun sets, that's talking about a ksus laila. When the sun sets, you have to, the mal has to return the beged to the lover. The pasuk in Shmos, however, chavol tichbol, it says ad bo hashemesh, and that's before daybreak. That's talking about a ksus yom, a garment that's worn during the day, not a garment that's worn at night. And these are two cases, two scenarios, both of which require the malva to fulfill the obligation of Hashavas HaMashkon, one for Ksus Laila, to allow the lover to have his beged back at night, and the other is Ksus Yom, a beged Yom, to allow the lover to get back his Mashkon, his Ksus Yom, by day. In the Parsha of Tzedakah, which we read not long ago in Dvarim Tesvav, there too we find a double language key. Pasoach tiftach es yod chalo. You should open your hands for him. Or as the pasuk says, le'aniecha. It's not clear which pasuk the Torah, the Gemara is quoting here, because there's a pasoach tiftach twice in the same parasha. In Pasuk Ches and in Pasuk Yud Aleph, in Perek Tezvav. Ainly, why do I need this double language? I might think that the Chiv Tztaka is Elo Laniye Ircha, because the Pasuk says, Aniyecha, Aniyecha implying the local poor people, and each city is a separate unit, an independent unit, as far as stuck, the members of each city are required to support their aniyim, their local aniyim. They don't have to extend charity to far off cities. Again, the beginning of the parasha there says ki yeh becha evyon me'achad achicha be'echad sharecha. And Sharecha implies in your city, that's Aniye Ircha. L'Aniye Ircha, Resmi 9, how do you know the Zachiv Tztaka to someone who comes from a different city? Talmud Lomar, therefore the Torah repeats itself, Pasoach Tiftach, the double language, Mikol Mokom, even for poor people that come from a different city. Why did the Torah confuse us, so to speak, by saying La'aniecha or Achicha Bechad Sharecha? The answer is because we have a principle called Aniye Ircha Kodmin La'aniye Ir Acheres. If there's a limited amount of funds, then in the priority, we prioritize, and the members of one city take priority in collecting tzedakah over the members of a distant city. Now, in the same parasha of tzedakah, of the mitzvah tzedakah, there's another double language. It says in Pasuk Yud, Nason titein lo. Ainly, why do I need a double language? Ella matana maruba. You know, if you have a person who's destitute, he's got no money. He needs a significant amount of money and genuinely depends upon on charity. Then the Torah says, Nason, you give him. And the word Nasina here would mean give him a significant amount of money, because that's what he needs. Nason is a matana maruba. And that's what he needs. If the Gemara Chulin says about Reish Sages, that Nesina means a matana meruba. Matana muetis minayin. What happens if the Ani is not in such desperate need? He's not down and out. He has money to support himself, but he needs some extra money. That's called a matana muetis. How do we know that there too there's a chiyuv tzedaka? Tamaloma nason titain mikol makom. The Ritva explains that the pasuk is coming to tell you shegam ani chayav bitztok, that even a poor person who doesn't have the wherewithal to give a matana meruba, nevertheless he's chayav a matana muetes. But Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz claims that we don't need a pasuk for that. There's no reason to exempt an ani from tztaka. He has to give kfi kocho, that's for sure. But the Gemara wants to derive a different conclusion. Then that is, as we said before, the recipient is not in need, in dire need, of a matana meruba, but all he needs is a matana muetes. His needs are very limited, they're relatively small. Nevertheless, the Torah requires a tztaka. Or in the language of Tosfos Rosh, the Havmina was, Kevon she'enum it's tire kolkach, he's not in such dire anguish, there would be no mitzvah of tztaka. Talmud Lomar, nason titen, even a matana muetes. And this takes us to the case of an adon, a master of an eved ivri, in the parish of mitzvah hanukkah, which means that when the eved ivri goes lecheirus, he goes free. There's a mitzvah incumbent upon the Adon to give a gift gratis to the Ani. Hanek Tanik, the Torah says again, in the parsha of Tztaka, in Dvarim Tesvav, this time it's Pasuk Yudalit, Hanek Tanik, in double language, lo, mi tzoncha, mi garncha, umi ikvecha. And the answer is that it all depends. Ein li ela shenis barech habayis biglolo. When and why does the Torah impose this obligation? Again, this is all a havamina. Upon the Adon to grant a hanukkah, this gift to the Eved. That's because the Eved started working for this Adon before the Adon was rich. And as a result of the dedication of the Adon, of the Eved to his Adon, in a very short amount of time, the Adon became wealthy. And you see this in the Pasuk, because the Pasuk there says, Asher Berchacha Hashem Elokecha. There was a bracha. So the Eved brought the bracha into the house of the Adon. And as a result, the Adon owes the Eved some sort of a Hakar Satov, some sort of a gift of gratitude. And therefore, Ma'anikim, the Adon has to give this gift because of Asher Berachecha Hashem Elokecha Titein Lo. Lo Nisbarech Havayis Beglolo. The situation, the financial circumstances of the Adon have not improved as a result of the Eved. The Eved Ivri did not bring the bracha minayin. How do you know to derive the conclusion that even in such a case, there's a chiyuv hanukka, tamid lomar hanek tanek mikol makom? Again, the pasuk of Asher Berchah Hashem Elokecha is going to be used for something else. A different drasha in Kiddushin Daf Yud Zayin says the Gemara L'Rabbi Lozim and Azaria Diomar in that same sugya in Kiddushin. Rabbi Lozim and Azaria disagrees with the Chachamim, and he says the Omar Nisbarech Habayis Biglolo Manikim Lo Lo Nisbarech Habayis Ein Biglolo Ein Manikim Lo. If there's no bracha as a result of this Eved Ivri, there's no chiyuv of Hanukka on the Adon, is Tanik Lomeli, why the double language of Tanik? And here Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah holds Dibra Torah Kolashim B'nei Adon. that the Torah uses a language when it wants to emphasize something to a double language. Tosfos here, Divra Maskel Divra, is wondering whether Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would disagree with all the different drushes that we've had, in which we derive an expansion and a ribui from the double language of the pasuk. Should we just throw that all overboard because Divra Torah Kolosh Menei Adam? Says the Tosfos, the only time that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah applies the principle of Divra Torah Kolosh Menei Adam is by Hanukkah, because of the explicit nature of the pasuk. There's a hochacha, there's a proof in the pasuk itself not to darshan Hanek Tanim, because the Torah says Asher Berach Hashem Elokecha, and the Torah itself stipulates explicitly the condition for the chiyuv Hanukkah. The Ramban, however, based on the Gemara in Krisus, establishes that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, li olam, as a universal rule, we apply the principle of Divrei Torah Kolosh Menei Adam. And therefore it becomes difficult. How does Rabbi Elazar know, and how does he derive all the conclusions from the various drushes that we had, liel, that we had in the sugya until now? The Ritva rejects the Ramban's raya from the Gemara increases. Now we get to the mitzvah alva. This also is written by the Torah in the same parash of Tztaka. In Rei it says, Dvarim tezvav, pasuk yudches, ki pasoach tiftach es yodcha lo. Vehavet tavitenu de machzor shayechzar lo. Here the Torah obligates a person to extend a loan to someone who's in need of a loan. Open your hands, open your arms. Pasach tiftach. What's the double language? Ein li ela kisha ein lo. The lova is in dire need of a loan. He doesn't have money to support his family. Vi eino rotza lisparnois. And he's too embarrassed to take charity. He doesn't want a gift. Is in such a case, the Torah says, Pasach tiftach, you have to present him with a loan, extend him a loan. Amar Achmona tein lo biderech halva. Now, what does this phrase, biderech halva, mean? The Gemara in Ksubis explains that you do what's called a harama. The recipient who's in dire need of stock of charity is too embarrassed to take, so you fool him, so to speak. You extend him a loan, which he's not embarrassed to take, or he's less embarrassed to take. And then you're mochel on the loan. You don't have really any intention to collect the loan. So it really begins with technically a loan, but it really essentially is staka. And that's why this parasha appears in the parasha of staka. And Meikar Adin, since this ani really is in need of tztaka, therefore the mitzvah of tztaka applies. But the Torah is telling you, give it to him in a tzura, in a different form, as a loan, in order to avoid his humiliation, because he, the recipient, is humiliated by the very thought of accepting tztaka. However, yeshlo, what about another scenario? There are many people who have money, they can support themselves, but Eino Rotzel is paranoid, Michel, he doesn't want to use his own funds, a certain disease that he has, and he wants tztaka money. Again, he's not going to take globs of tztaka money, he'll take the limited amount of tztaka that he needs to support himself, even though he has money in the bank. He's too stingy to write a check and take his money out of his account, a very common phenomenon. Is minayin, how do we know that even so there's a mitzvah to extend him alone? Talmud lomar tavitenu, the double language of the pasuk, mikol makom. The Ritva points out that even though this pasuk stipulates de machsoro, which means what he needs for parnasa, and here he's not lacking any money for parnasa, nevertheless, this person is really considered de machsoro because he doesn't want to use his money. is Ein Lecha Chaser Gadol Mizeh. He really is in a worse situation than a person who in reality doesn't have the money to support himself. And the reason for this is because he lives with this sick mentality in which he's not willing to spend his money. Now, I've been very harsh on this person, but the truth may be that he's afraid to use his funds for various reasons. He doesn't want to get into a situation. Person always wants to have some extra panning. Now, the Gemara is going to say that Ulu Rav Shimon, that if we go to the Sugya Ksubis, Rav Shimon is of the opinion that there is no chiyuv to support someone who has the wherewithal but refuses to use his own money. Yeshlo v'eino rotzel is parnix ein nizkakin lo. He has the money to support himself but refuses to do so. We're not obligated to extend the loan. Is tavitenu lomali? Why the extra word tavitenu, the double language? Dibra Torah kiloshim b'nei adam. And once again, we have a machlokas Tosfos in the Ramban. Tosfos is going to say that Reb Shimon agrees with all the drushes that we had before. But here there's a hochacha in the pasuk, because it says, that the mitzvah of extending a loan only applies to someone who doesn't have the wherewithal, he doesn't have the finance to support himself. And in that sense, Tosfos is reiterating what he said according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who refused to extend the mitzvah of Hanukkah's Eved to someone, to an Eved who did not bring the bracha. And once again, the Ramban is going to work it out in such a way that Rav Shimon Elazar holds that as a universal rule, Dibra Torah Kolosh Menei Adam, exactly what he said in Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's frame of reference. And the Gemara is very difficult, Liel, before we had the sugya yesterday of Prika Uteina, and there the Gemara raised the question according to Rabbi Shimon, you could learn Prika from Teina, why did the Torah have to repeat itself? And L'chor Rabbi Shimon holds Dibra Torah Kolosh Menei Adam, the question of the Gemara was no question. The objection of the Gemara was not a valid objection. So Ramban says that what the Gemara meant was not that we have to justify the kfelus, but we want to learn the din of Ein Baal of Imo, of the solo, the obligation of Prika Teina, one from the other. At the Gufa din of Prika Teina, maybe Ein Ochinami would learn one from the other. So the Gemara had a very specific question there. So this concludes our study of Chumash, of double phrases in Chumash, and the drushes that we derive from them. Now, we go back to our Mishnah, and we're talking about the nature and the scope of the obligation of the finder in Hashavas Aveda, in a case where he has to give up his work. And the Mishnah establishes, Hayabatol min Asela, Lo yomer lo tein li sela le nosin lo schar kapol batel. What is the schar that the owner of the lost object has to pay the finder, insofar as the finder had to give up on that schar in lieu of his tipul, his tircha, on behalf of the owner of the object to be mekayim the mitzvah hashavas ha'aveda? And the Mishnah establishes that the finder does not have rights to be compensated totally, 100% for his schar, but rather he collects schar kipoel batel, which means that he collects his wages according to the lower price, not the price that he could have earned by doing a very heavy piece of work, but he's willing to settle for a lower price for bitul malacha on a level of malacha kala for a lesser work. My kipol batel. Amar Abai kipol batel shall osa malacha de batel mina. So there's no objective amount of money that's always going to be paid to the Meshiv Aveda, but it all depends upon the job that the Meshiv Aveda, you know, the occupation of the Meshiv Aveda in any particular circumstance. How much would he be willing to reduce his schar in order to dedicate himself to a malacha kala, an kala with a kuf, a lesser and an easier malacha than the malacha that he was osik ba, that he's generally involved in, which is more heavy, demanding malacha. And that's the schar that the baal, the owner of the aveda, will pay him. And basically, the schar is what we call the schar of osek ba'ashavas aveda, which is a malacha kala, which is relatively a light kind of malacha. Now Rashi, Dibra Maska Kipoel, and many Rishonim agree with Rashi, maintains that if the finder is not willing to reduce his avoda, the weight and the heaviness of his avoda, and give up on his heavier and more significant wage in order to be machzer aveda, in such a case, he could take kol scharo, he could take his full schar. He's not willing in general to make a deal, instead of getting 4 dinrim an hour for a job that's heavy, he'll settle for 2 dinrim for a light job, and he'll give up on 2 dinrim, and therefore he collects from the Baal Aveda only 2 dinrim. No, he wants to put in all the work and all the effort in order to make 4 dinrim, or perhaps he's such a high-paid worker, he's so highly skilled, that even for an avoda kala, a light kind of work, he gets paid a high salary. And in all those cases, Rashi maintains that he collects kol scharo, the entire schar. And we're going to see about the halacha of Yesh in the next part of the Mishnah, Yesham Bezdin, Masne Bifnehem. Now you might ask, if the Meshiv Aved is getting paid for the work, you know, a salary that's commensurate to the work he's doing in Ashavas Aveda, Nicha, he's like a poel who's working on behalf of the Bailim. But if he's getting paid the full schar, then it's a bit strange, because he should be, in that case, a notel schar for Ashavas Aveda. You know, he's getting an extra schar just for the mitzvah Ashavas Aveda. But the answer is that in such a case where he insists that he doesn't want to be batel, he doesn't want to give up on his high-paid salary, then he's not chayiv to give up on his high-paid salary. The mitzvah Ashavas Aveda doesn't go that far. It doesn't obligate him to that extent. Because the Torah says, and we've discussed this on many occasions, Efes ki lo yel becha evyon, shalcha kodem l'shalcha vero. The way we understand it is as follows. There are 3 levels of schar. There's what's called schar batol legamri. Let's say you have a person who doesn't have work at all, and you pay him, you know, to hang around the store, the shop, until somebody comes in. Right now there's no one coming, he has no clients. So you pay him the minimum wage of, let's say, a dinar. That's called schar batol legamri. That's not what Abai is talking about here. He's talking about a schar of a poel batel, which means a poel batel shall owe some malacha. Let's explain. So if he was doing nothing, he would get paid a dinar. And that for sure, every Shomer Aveda, every Meshiv Aveda has a right to get paid Kipoel Batel, Batel Agamrei, and that's not considered Notel Schar Mitzvah, Notel Schar Hashavas Aveda. Then we have the other extreme, someone who has an Avoda Kosha, we'll call it, as opposed to Avoda Kala, and he generally gets paid 4 dinrim. for a tremendous amount of Torah Moloch, but he has such a job. In the middle, as a compromise between those two extremes, we have, according to Abai, something called Kipoel Batel Shel Osa Molocha. It's not Paul Batel of someone who's doing nothing. For sure, you know, it's going to be too much to even dream of asking the Meshav Aved to give up on four dinarim for the sake of one dinar. Why should he do that? But we can strike up a deal, and we'll say to the Meshiv that, look, you know, you're going to be working here, but the amount of work you're doing is minimal. It's an avodah kala. Wouldn't it be worth it for you to take a salary cut to reduce your work level from that an avodah kasha to an avodah kala? And that gives us that middle number called two dinarim. Instead of getting only one dinar, which a Meshiv Aveda by definition has a right to receive as a poel batel legamrei, and that's built into the mitzvah, we're going to give him two dinrim, which for a person who works very hard for four dinrim, he's willing to settle for two dinrim for an avodah kala. The question that you might ask is, but now he's getting one dinar more than a poel batel legamrei, so you are, in a sense, giving him an extra dinar that reflects his work out there, you know, the salary that he has, and then he is taking schar for the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. And the answer is no, we don't see that as schar for the Hashavas Aveda. He's allowed to get schar, basic schar, and that's not called netilas schar, that's called kipol batel legamrei. We're willing to jack it up by an extra dinar because of the fact that technically he's potter from the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. He's only taking on this mitzvah of nimishus adin. Why does he have to give up a salary of four dinrim for the sake of this mitzvah that he's not obligated to do? But in order to at least compensate him somewhat, we'll make this, you know, we'll iron out this deal and we'll say to him, look, you're doing less of a malacha, take a salary cut. And we don't see that and define it as netilas schar for a mitzvah for Hashavas Aveda. It's built in to the schar batola. In other words, this individual comes onto this category of schar batola, but it's not batola legamrei, it's batola shel osa malacha, because he's batola from that malacha that he would have been occupied with. Tosis, on the other hand, is not willing to interpret the halacha in that way. And Tosis insists that the maximum that a shomer aveda could demand is kipoel batel legamrei. Anything beyond that would constitute netilas schar avur hashavas aveda. So basically, what we work out with this poel is how much would you be willing to take if you did nothing, no work at all, you didn't lift a finger. So if he works at a salary of four dinrim, he would be willing to take one single dinar for doing nothing. If you offered him a lighter workload, he would demand two dinarim instead of four. He's going to only get a dinar. If he gets two dinarim, that's called notel schar avur hashavas aveda. And that's not only Shita Satosis, but that's also the Shita of Rabbeinu Chananel, the Rambam, and other Rishonim. And what do we pay him for? We pay him for, I guess you call it minimum wages, that single dinar. And the example is of a tailor who normally gets a salary if he's employed by someone else who owns the tailor shop. He's working in the tailor shop, or a barber in a barber shop. He'd normally be paid a sela. If he's giving up the sela for the sake of Hashavas Aveda, what I meant to say, he only gets paid a sela because he is earning a sela. But let's say, for example, he has no clients, so he's not sewing any garments, but nevertheless the owner of the shop wants him there in case some client will come by. So if a client comes by and sees that this tailor is not occupied, he has no other work, he's going to offer him a reduced price, let's say, of a chatzi selah. And it's better for the tailor to take up that offer and work for a chatzi selah than to sit batel kol hayom. If he sits batel bar yom, he'll get nothing more than minimum wage. At least this one, this way he could earn a chatzi selah. But that chatzi selah is for the work that he's doing when this client clinches the deal with him that he should work on his behalf. Then the Mishnah says in Yesham Bezdin Masne Bifneim. Now let's try to prove that you need this Tnai in front of Bezdin in order to validate the demand of the Meshiv that he should be paid Tzchar to offset his loss. And the Gemara tells the following story in terms of what's called Chalukas Shutfim. You have two partners. Here's a case of Isur, one of the rabbis by the name of Isur, Rav Safra, Ovid Iska Bari Adodi. They were business partners. And Ozal Rav Safra Upolagle below Daite de Isar. Rav Safra, without asking permission from his partner, went ahead and he took his share of the business. Rav Safra did not notify Isur that he was doing so. The Api betray, however, he made sure that there were two witnesses present. Let's assume that Isur was not in the city. The time for Chalukas HaShutfin to divvy up the monies in the Pushko came, and Isur Rav Safra had no other possibility other than doing the Chalukah without the Haskam of his Shutuf, but he did it in front of two people. The Ritva points out he doesn't need three people who are absolute Bekiyim in Din. He really needs three people who are Bekiyim in Shuma, but if he didn't divide up the Shutfis in front of three people, then the Chalukah is not valid. Also, Lekamei, de Rabba Bar Rav Huna, Rav Safra comes in front of Rabba Rav Huna, Amalei, and Rabba says to him, Zil Aisi Tlosa. It's not enough that you do the Chalukas HaShutfim in front of two witnesses, but you need three. Do the Chalukas HaShutfim in the presence of three, which means you need this Bezdin to allow you to do the shutfus. So that, let's say the profits were 500, you take your share of 250, and that will be awarded to you with the approval of a Bezdin. Inami, and here we're on Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. Trei Migo Tlosa. Take two people amongst the three. So you did a chaluk in front of three. Two of them will testify that we were two out of three sitting on this bezdin to supervise the chaluk inami, or else Trei Sadi, take two other edim who aren't amongst the three. The palag the api beitlosa, who could testify that indeed there was a chaluk in front of three. Amalei, so Rav Safra turns to Rabbi and he says, Minolacha ha, what's the source from which you derive this din that chalukas hashutfin must be a maisa, it requires an act of bezdin, has to be done under the supervision of a bezdin? Amalei, Rabbi derives it from our Mishnah, Disnan. In the Yesham Bezdin, Masna Bifneim. In the case of a Shomer Aveda, who wants to be paid to offset the loss of work, to compensate for the wages that he will not be able to receive, and the work he will not be able to do because he's involved in Hashem's Veda, he has to do it in front of Bezdin. That's what it says in the Mishnah. Masna Bifneim. Ein Shom Bezdin, Bifnei mi yasne shelo kodem. You see clearly from the Mishnah that he can't take money from someone else right? Here's money that the Baal HaVeda, who's not even around, is going to have to pay to this Meshev HaVeda. And the only way you can do that is in the presence of three. So just like in the case of someone who finds an HaVeda and he wants to take money that he would have made had he been working and receiving his salary check, he wants to take that money for the Hashavas HaVeda, he must make a Tanai in front of Beis Din. So too, when you have a partnership and one of the partners wants to take his half of the money in the cash registry, he's got to do it in front of Beis Din. So if Safra was confused until Rabbi Baravua told him that there's an analogy between the Meshev HaVeda case and the case of Chalukah Shutfim. Amalei Rav Safra responds, Midami, that analogy is not precise, it's not accurate. Hasam, in the case of HaVeda, Demapik, Mamona, Mihayu, Mosiv, Mi'lahai, you're taking money out of the pocket of the owner of the HaVeda and you're giving it and transferring into the pocket of the finder, be'in and bezdin, we need bezdin, aval hocha, here in chalukas ha-shutfim, we're not taking money out of anyone's hand, didei shakli, he's only taking that which is his, or I, Rav Safra, am taking the half of the profits that are mine, I'm no less of a shutif than anyone, gili milsa bi'almahu, all we need here is to divvy up the monies, in other words, which money, you know, you take this stack of wad of bills, and I take that wad of bills, is betray Sagile. All I need is two Aiden to testify that it was fair and legal what I did. I didn't embezzle any money. And Rav Saf wants to prove his position. Teid, I'll prove it to you. Disnan, Almana, Mocheres, Shalobifnei Bezdin. You have the case of a married woman whose husband dies, and she's allowed to collect her mizonos, her support from the estate. And let's say, for example, her husband left certain properties, which, by virtue of the laws of Yerusha, transfer over to the Yesomim, to the orphans. Now she's allowed to go ahead and sell those properties in order to liquidate money so that she could support herself, and she can do it shalob if they bezdin. The Mishnah says that she doesn't need bezdin. She's collecting that which is hers, and all she needs is two witnesses in order to prove that what she did was legal, and there was no embezzlement here. The monies were hers, rightfully hers, and the property that was sold at its value, at its true market value. And the same thing Chalukas HaShutfim. Says Rav Safi, you don't need bezdin. All you need is a gili milsa bi'alma to clarify that there was nothing illegal that went on over here. That indeed, the shutuf collected exactly to the penny that which is coming to him. Omalei Abai turns to Rav Safra, and he says, V'lav mi itmar Allah, don't we have a statement of Rav Yosef in the name of Rav Nachman in qualifying that Mishnah in Ksubis? Almana eina tzricha bezdin shal mumchin, aval tzricha bezdin shal idiotos. Rav Yosef said in the name of Rav Nachman that the Mishnah doesn't mean that there's no requirement of bezdin, just there are different qualities of bezdin, there are different kinds of bezdin. There's a bezdin of mumchin, who are experts in law, and there are bezdin of idiotos, who are experts in knowing the value of a piece of property. They have no great scholarship in halacha, and that's all that's required. So too, in the case of Chalukah Shutfim, like the case of Almana Mocheres, although there's no requirement of Bezin Shel Mumchim, but we certainly have the minimal requirement of Bezin Shel Yotos. And therefore the proof that you adduce from the mission of Almana Nizones and Mocheres is not an accurate proof, because there too, a Bezin Shel Yotos at least is a requirement. Tosus here at the top of Lamed Beis, the Ramas Almana, wonders about the equation, the analogy of Rav Safra to the case of an Almana. The Almana has a special status. The Rabbanim wanted to make it easier for her to get married, so they allowed her to have access to the estate of her late husband to sell whenever necessary those properties in order to achieve money. Those logical reasons and compelling explanations don't apply to the case of Chaluka Shutfim. But the answer is, as Tosfos, there's a Kal Vachomer here. In the case of Almana, she's selling the chosen that really technically are not hers. They belong to the Yisomim. And if she could do so without Bezdin, then how much more so the Shutaf, who's selling property or taking monies that are his, rightfully his, he certainly doesn't need Bezdin, even if he doesn't have those explanations and those compelling reasons of an Almana. The Ramban embellishes this a little further. He says that for the reasons that Chazal, in the case of Almana, allowed her to sell the properties of her late husband, what they did was they defined the Almana as if she owns the Nichsei HaYisomim. Technically, she doesn't own them, but the Chachamim upgraded her status that to the extent in which her ksuba allows her to collect monies from the estate, she is a proper partner in the estate. And if she doesn't need a bezdin to sell those nechasim, insofar as she is a partner in the estate, the same thing should apply to all cases of chalukah shutfim. The Ramban goes in the same presentation further, and he asks, what does the Gemara mean when it says bezdin shel mumchim? Mumchim usually means in Masechet Sanhedrin smuchim, that smicha they have ordination, ish mi pi ish, going back to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's not what it means in this case. But rather, the word mumchin here means dayanim hadonim dini momenos, not smuchin. In dini momenos, we never require smuchin. What we require is dayanim who are appointed as such in dini momenos. They know the laws of dini momenos. They don't have smicha. You don't need smicha to be a dayan in dini momenos. The word hedyotos here in this context means those who aren't bekiyim bedin. They could not serve as dayanim in dini momenos, but rather they have bekiyus in shuma. They have an expertise in knowing the value of property in terms of market conditions. The Ramban says that according to the final conclusion of our sugya, even b'dieved, if she, the almana, were to sell her property, or not her property, but call it the property of the estate, without bezdin, without at least a bezdin of edyotos, of those experts in shuma, the mechira would not be chal. It's an invalid mechira. And the basis for such a conclusion is the fact that Rabba told Rav Safra, bring me three people, or bring me two people to testify that you did the chalukah shutfim in front of two people. Meaning that the chalukah is not valid, and the halacha doesn't recognize that chalukah if it wasn't done in front of Bezdin, and the Gemara, by analogy, equates almana selling the estate with shutfim in a case where one shutif unilaterally implemented a chalukah without a bezdin. If such a chalukah is lost lo klum without bezdin, and so too the mechira of the almana without a bezdin is totally invalid. She cannot sell the nechasim of this estate, of her husband's estate, without, on her own, liatzma, without a proper bezdin. Again, when I say proper bezdin, I don't mean a proper bezdin of dayonim of dini mominis, adonim dini mominis, but at least a bezdin of mumchin in shuma, bekiyim b'shuma. And this leads us to the Mishnah here on the top of Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. The Mishnah discusses the case of a person who finds a cow. Under what situations is this considered a lost cow? And he's chayev an hashava. In what circumstances is he not chayev hashava? also the din of Hashavas Aveda, in a case where his father commands him not to fulfill the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, or his father tells him to violate another Avera, does he listen to his father? Does he not listen to his father? Mitzah Berefes. If a person finds a para in a refes is a barn, and that's where the cow belongs, and therefore, ein chayev ba. There's no mitzvah Hashavas Aveda because the animal is not lost. It's in the refes, and that's where it belongs. Again, we're going to see that the Gemara is going to establish the chiddush here that even if it's a makom sheinu mishtamer, nevertheless he's not chayev in the case of a refes in Hashava. But Birshus Rav in the Mishnah says chayev ba. If the animal was on in a public area, then he's chayev in Hashavas Aveda. And the klal is, as the Mishnah formulated him, Hoysav Beis HaKvaros, if he's a Kohen, Lo Yitami Lo, he's part of the Mitzvah Hashav, because even though Esei Docha Lo Saseh, and here the Mitzvah of Hashiv Teshivan should be Docha the Lav of Tumas Kohenim, but we've already seen in the Gemara on Daf Lamed that Tumas Kohenim has not only the Lo Saseh of Lenefesh Lo Yitam, but is also strengthened by the Esei of Kedoshim Tiyu, and therefore Hashavas Aveda as an Esei cannot be Docha both an essay and a losas. Also, we pointed out that Hashavas Aveda is Hefseid Mamon, whereas Iser Tumas Kohanim is an Iser, not just Mamon. Fine. Im Amarlo Aviv Hitame. Supposing his father commands him to go into the cemetery to become Tame, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, on the flip side, Sha'omar lo al tachzir, did not return an Aveda and violate the essay of Hashav Teshiva lo Yishmalo. This is beyond the purview of Mitzvahs Kibud Avaim. And now the Mishnah goes on to discuss the case of Prika Uteina, those mitzvos. Parak Vitan. Afilu Arba V'chamisha Pa'amim. In this case, he was fulfilling the mitzvah prika by lightening the burden off the animal and unloading the burden. And then the process repeated itself over and over again. In other words, the animal, after you loaded it, started laying down, and you have to again load it a second time. That's called prika. That's called teina, to load it, I'm sorry. Or, in the case of prika, it means he unloaded the burden, the animal lays down, and now he has to reload it again. Is the Mishnah establishes afilu arba v'chamisha pomim chayev, he's still chayev shenemar ozov tazov. The extra tazov comes to teach me that he remains chayev in this mitzvah. The mitzvah itself is codified in Shmos Chav Gimel Kisira chamor sonacha rovetz tachas maso v'chadalta mi'azov lo Azov Tazov Imo. And the word Aziva, Azov Tazov, means to help him out, because the animal is collapsing under its burden. That's called Ravtza Tachas Maso, Ravtza Tachas Kovid Maso, under the weight of the animal. Now, V'chadalta Me'azovlo is kind of a rhetorical question. In other words, can you be monair yourself and prevent yourself from helping him? For sure, don't do that. But rather, mitzvah to help him to be porek the masa from the behemah and take it off and unload it. That's in Parshas Mishpatim. Now we fast forward to Parshas Ki Teitze in Dvarim, Perek of Beis. There it says, Lo sirah es chamor achicha o eshoro noflim badorech v'salamtum em hakem tokem imo, which means you see that an animal is falling by the road, by the way. Help him to get to stand up the animal. And in general, you could say that a behemoth that falls because of the weight on its masa, the fellow comes by and is obligated to help, he's doing prika, he's unloading. But Chazal darshan that this pasuk in Dvarim Chav Beis is referring not to the mitzvah prika, but to the mitzvah of te'ina, which means that after the animal is ready to move on, and the bailam need help to place the load on its back, that's your chiyuv, that's called te'ina. If on the other hand the animal already has a load on its back and it's falling apart, it's collapsing, then there's a mitzvah of prika to remove, to unload the burden from its back. Holach v'yoshev lo, what if the owner of the animal decides, you know what, I'm going to sit by and watch this happen. V'yomer, and he tells the person who's passing by, hov alecha mitzvah, you have a mitzvah of prika, to take the burden and unload it. Im ritzon chal lifrok prok, you want to do it by yourself? I'm not interested in raising a finger. Is patur. Shenemar, the pasuk says also tazov imo. Your chiyuv to be porik is only together with the balabayis. But imhoya zaken o chole, if the balabayis was old or infirm and he doesn't have the possibility of helping him do the prika chayuv. Mitzvah min haTorah lifrok avolo liton. And Rabbi Shimon Omer, af liton. The simple words of the Mishnah seem to indicate that the Tanakamia denies the mitzvah of prika, of te'ina, excuse me, but the Gemara, as we'll soon see, is going to reinterpret this machlokes as to whether or not the mitzvah of te'ina is so far reaching, as Rabbi Shimon would have it, that even bechinam, even if he's not going to be reimbursed for his work, he still is obligated. The Tanakhama is not going to go that far. Rabbi Yossi Aglili adds another embellishment regarding the mitzvah prika and te'inim. Hoya olav yaser al maso. If the burden is really way too heavy for the animal, ein zakuklo, the person is not chayv in the mitzvah of helping the owner. Shenemer, the pasuk says, kisirah hamor sonach harovetz tachas maso, and maso, says the Mishnah, is maso sheyochol lamod bo. So then you have to help him because the maso is such that it's reasonable to assume that the animal is able to carry such a burden. But if the animal is bearing more than its burden, then the bystander, the spectator who's coming by, is not obligated in the mitzvah of unloading the animal. And this is a pella, because what about the Tzar Bali Chaim element? We don't know. But in any event, the pasuk says, Maso sheyochol la'amod bo. And the word maso, which literally translates as burden, means a masa'o, his burden, or its burden, meaning there's a hatamai here between the burden and the animal. So we're talking about an animal that under normal conditions can pick up this load, but if the load is, shall we say, overly heavy or it's oppressive, and it could be because the animal is fatigued already, then even though the animal now is unable to stand up because the load is still on its back, the animal can't stand up. You have to alleviate the animal of its burden in order for the animal to stand on all fours. Nevertheless, since it's not maso sheyochol lamed bo, the passerby is not chayev in the mitzvah of prika. Amar Rava. Rava says, refes sheomru, the case of the refes, which is described in the Mishnah and where the finder is not obligated, he's alleviated from the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, is Eina Mas'a V'Eina Mishameres. Mas'a, he translates here as Eina Goremes Labehema Lotzeis Mitocha. There's nothing about this barn or the conditions in the barn that would incite the animal to run astray and break out of its, you know, its incarceration within the barn. What would be something that would be masa would be a barn that has no food and the animal is starving. But if there's some grazing area, even minimum, then it's eino masa. The Meiri says, "Eino yichola lotzeis misham berevach," meaning that the refes is not going to sort of tempt the animal to run away. It doesn't have openings on all four sides, and that's why there's no mitzvah hashavas aveda. V'eino mishameres means the doors are not locked, so that if the animal would want to get out, it could get out. So Rav is really telling us two chidushim that he finds in this opening line in the Mishnah. Number one, if the refes has no fodder in it, no grazing area in it, and the animal is desperate, it has no food to eat, that would be a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, even though, despite the fact that the animal is located inside the barn, the Mishnah alleviates the finder from the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, the responsibility, because it's eino masa. In other words, there is some at least minimum amount of grazing area within the barn. I probably shouldn't call it grazing area because I don't think a barn has grazing area, but it has some supply of food, a bale of hay. That's chiddush number one. So again, here the chiddush is l'chumra, to tell you that there would be a chiyuv of hashava if the barn was masa, you know, that certainly would cause the animal to run away because it doesn't have any food. But the second chiddush of Rava is lekula, that the Mishnah alleviates the finder of his responsibility of hashavas aveda, despite the fact that the barn is eino mishameres, the door of the barn is open, or at least it's unlocked, because Rav is saying, had the door been open, then for sure there would be a chiyuv of hashava. If the door is locked, for sure there would be no chiyuv of hashava. So let's see how Rav derives this logically from the Mishnah. He says, Eino masa. How do I know that the Mishnah is talking about a barn which has some minimum amount of food in miktoni enu chayev ba? He doesn't have a chiyuv hashava. Now, if the barn is masa, then in a masa situation, the animal is going to run out of the barn. That's clearly a classical hashavas aveda situation. That's Rava's logic. Why would he not be chayv in hashava? The eino mishtameres mida itzrich lemisteinu chayv ba. I derive the conclusion that the barn in our Mishnah is described as a barn which is accessible to the public, meaning there's no lock on the barn, from the fact that the Mishnah had to tell me this chiddush that he's not chayv. Disak daitli mishtameres, if we're talking about a barn that's locked, hashta mishkach leibroi, had he found the animal of so and so out in the wild, is ma'ayel ol gavoy, would bring it into this locked barn. That's how he's makayim the mitzvah shov and notify the bailim that your cow is back in his barn. Is mashkech le migvoy, if he finds the animal inside the barn, is miboy, do I have to tell you that he's not chayv in hashavas aveda? I mean, this barn, if it's mishtamer, that is the kiyum of hashavas aveda if the animal was outside the barn. El Shema Mino, but it must be that the Mishnah is coming to tell me a chiddush that even though Eina Mishameres, the animal is not really incarcerated, it's not locked within the barn, nevertheless, despite the possibility that the animal might get out, there's no Chiyuv Hashava. Shema Mino, this is what we derive. And again, why is there no Chiyuv Hashava? Because the owner of the barn is responsible for his animal. You know, if he locks the barn, sometimes he doesn't lock the barn, that's his issue. But it's still considered under the surveillance of the Bailim. This is not a lost cow. Now the Mishnah says, Matzo berefes eino chayuv. And the question is, where is this barn? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Vehu shomeres toch litchum. The reason why the Mishnah says that the finder of this cow in the barn is part of Mashava is because the barn is within the limits, the boundaries of the city. That's called Chum. And Chum is 2,000 amos, according to Dinei Erevin. The implication is, however, if he found a barn which is outside the Tchum, that would be a lost cow with a Chiyuv Hashava. And in effect, what Rabbi Yitzchak is saying here is going to have an impact on the next part of the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says that Birshus HaRabim, let's go back to the Mishnah again, Birshus HaRabim, Chayav, but is Chayav and Hashava. So where is this Rishus HaRabim? Michlal, the Rishus HaRabim, Afilu B'toch HaTchum Nami Chayav B'Hashava. According to this version of Rabbi Yitzchak, we'll soon see a different way of interpreting Rabbi Yitzchak, the case of Rishus HaRabim where you're parted from Hashava, I'm sorry, the case of Rishus HaRabim where you're Chayav and Hashava applies even if the Rishus HaRabim is B'toch HaTchum. So the cow in this case is outside the barn, and you're Chayav and Hashava, despite the fact that this public area, technically, is within the Tchum of the city limits. And this, says the Ritva, is against the Gemara that we learned Hadaf Lamed Aleph, Lechora, in the Sugi of Rava. Rava there pointed out that if you find a para that is running outside the city, but it's directed and its face is in the direction of the city, then that's not considered an Aveda. He talking about an animal that is within the city's Tchum, and you're still telling me that because it's Rishus HaRabim, it's not inside the barn, you're Chayav and Hashava. So the Ritva points out that there's a difference between Nimtzeis Birshus HaRabim, where she's afraid of Ovrim Veshavim, and therefore she wants to run amok. She wants to be a barachas. If she's outside the city, but she's looking or directing her face towards the city, she's not afraid of over Veshavim. She's on her way back to her owner. That's not called an Aveda. And basically what we're saying here is that Rava's statement in the previous Amud, the previous blot, in the case of Ratza, Parah Ratza Baderech, Upaner Klapi Asada, she's not lost. This is a very mature para that's in control of itself and for herself, and she's on the way back home. Mashenkin, here we're talking about a para that's really lost. It's got there's no lantern of light that's leading this para back to her owner. She's out in Rishus HaRabim. And even though it's within the city limits, nevertheless, according to this presentation of Rabbi Yitzchak, it still becomes a Chiyuv HaShava. The Ravid wants to go a step further. He wants to say that we're talking about not just Stama Rishus HaRabim, but particularly a Sratya, which is a Ribui Gadol Shel Anoshim. It's like a square that is totally occupied by myriads of people. And the animal is going to be very scared. It's going to start running amok. And we have to be worried about the fact that people might take this animal and that those people are not necessarily interested in Hashavas Aveda. Not so in the case of Rava. He was talking about a shvil. A shvil meaning some sort of pathway or a highway. And there's not such a multitude of people going there, and therefore he's not chayev in Hashav. Ika demasni le'aseifa. We have another version of the statement of Rabbi Yitzchak, and he was coming to qualify the seifa. B'shus harabim chayev ba. The Mishnah says that if you find the parah out in a public area, it's not inside the barn, you are obligated in the mitzvah Hashavas Avinam Rabbi Yitzchak v'hu shomedes chutz litchum. Okay, it's just the opposite of the first version, which was Omeres Tochatchum. It's Chutzlitchum. Michlal Dibarefes, Afil Omeres Chutzlitchum, Nami Eino Chayev Ba. The second Lishna disagrees with the first Lishna. The first Lishna, as we saw, establishes that if this this Refes is in the Tchum, then you're potter from Hashava. If it's outside the Tchum, then you're chayiv in Hashava. No. Rabbi Yitzchak is saying that even if the Refes is chutz l'tchum, you're still not chayiv in Hashava. The first Lishna says you're chayiv in Hashava because the Refes is outside the Tchum. The second Lishna says no. You're potter from Hashava in a Refes by definition, despite the fact that it is chutz l'tchum. According to the Lishna Kama, the first version of Rabbi Yitzchak, Rishus HaRabim is, by definition, a machayev of Hashava. Whereas Refes depends. Refes is already not really a Hashava, unless the Refes is outside the Tchum. According to the Lishna Basra of Rava, a Rishus HaRabim is not automatically, by definition, a Machayev of Hashavas Aveda. It all depends upon where the animal is located. Is this a Rishus HaRabim in the Tchum or outside the Tchum? So, Omedes Chutz L'Tchum in Rishus HaRabim in the second Lishna, that defines Rishus HaRabim as a Machayev. But Rishus HaRabim is not an automatic ipso facto Machayev. It's almost as if the Rishus HaRabim inside the Tchum is kind of like a Refes, according to the second Lishna of Rabbi Yitzchak. And a Refes may or may not be a Machayev of Hashava. And therefore, Rishus HaRabim may or may not be, it's conditional. The first Lishna of Rabbi Yitzchak has it as an absolute. Rishus HaRabim is by definition a Machayev of Hashav. That's not a Makom Mishtamer, that's not where you leave animals. The animals is accessible to everyone, period. And according to the second Lishna, let's say it this way, that animals tend to roam around, and the Bailim know that, and as long as within a Tchum, it's not considered an Aveda. That's number one. But there's a second Machlokas here between the Lishna Kama and the Lishna Basra, and that's with regard to a Refes. A Refes, according to Lishna Kama of Rabbi Yitzchak, is not a Machayev Vashava. However, Rabbi Yitzchak says that that's only a Refes Tochatchum. According to the Lishna Kama, whereas Rishus HaRabim is an automatic Machayev, it's not so that a Refes is an automatic Poter. It's going to be the second Lishna that's going to say that Refes, by definition, is a Poter. So therefore, Rabbi Yitzchak has an absolute Machayev, that's called Rishus HaRabim, and he has a conditional Machayev, and that's called the Refes. The Refes goes down one notch, but not two notches. Right? You have two polar extremes. You have an automatic absolute Machayev, and you have an automatic absolute Poter. In other words, you have one category which, by definition, is an Aveda, and the other category, by definition, is not an Aveda. It's not Avut. And if you take Rabbi Yitzchak's Lishna Kama and compare it to his Lishna Basra, you can set up these two extremes. You could take Rabbi Yitzchak's Lishna Kama in, what's it called, in Rishus HaRabim. That's an automatic, absolute Machayev. It's a Shem Avud, Rishus HaRabim. And then you have Rabbi Yitzchak's Lishna Basra with regard to Refes. That's automatically a Hafka'a of the Shem Avud. The conditional middle ground, you know, the compromised twilight zone in the middle, is in the case of, within the context of Rabbi Yitzchak and the Lishna Kama, is Refes, and within the context of Rabbi Yitzchak and the Lishna Basra, is Rishus HaRabim. And that's where we're going to find, in that middle area, a double machlokes between the Lishna Kama and the Lishna Basra. And let's summarize that machlokes. Number one, as far as Rishus HaRabim is concerned, in Rabbi Yitzchak's Lishna Kama, despite the fact that the Rishus HaRabim is within the Tchum, nevertheless he's parted from Hashava, because as we said before, nevertheless he's Chayev in Hashava, even Tocha Tchum, because as we said before, Rabbi Yitzchak sees in this polar extreme Rishus HaRabim as an automatic Machayev. So that even if the Rishus HaRabim is located inside the Tchum, nevertheless, there's a Machayev. Here's going to be the first Nafkamina between the Lishna Kama and the Lishna Basra. The Lishna Basra from Yitzchak is going to say that Rishus HaRabim is a middle-of-the-road case. There's no absolute. And therefore, would Rishus HaRabim be have a shame of it, or would not? It all depends. If the Rishus HaRabim, says the Lishna Basra, is inside the Tchum, then that's okay, because as we said, animals do roam around within the city limits, even in the public areas. And therefore, Rishus HaRabim is only Chayev Ba if it's Chutz L'Tchum. And that gives you the conditional Shema Ovid of Rishus HaRabim in the Lishna Basra of Rava, whereas Rava and the Lishna Kama had Rishus HaRabim as an absolute Shema Ovid. And now we have a second Afkamina with regard to Refes. It was the Lishna Basra who set up Refes as an absolute Hafka of the Shema Ovid, meaning even if the Refes is outside the Tchum, whereas the Lishna Kama of Rava sees Refes as relative in terms of its Shema Avud. When is a Refes considered a Avud? That's when it's outside the Tchum. When it's inside the Tchum, it's obviously Mufka from a Shema Avud. So we have the two Nafkiminis between the two Lishonos. We've got Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaRabim inside the Tchum, and we have Refes outside the Tchum. The Lishna Basra of Rav accepts the relativity theory of Rishus HaRabim. The Lishna Kama accepts the relativity theory of Refes. So can the Lishna Kama identifies and equates Refes Chutz L'Tchum with Rishus HaRabim. Why is Refes Chutz L'Tchum like Rishus HaRabim? Here we can benefit from the previous sugya of Rava, that the Refes is Eina Mishtameres, meaning there's no locked door. So if the Refes is outside the city limits and there's no locked door, according to Rabbi Yitzchak in the Lishna Kama, that makes Refes into a Rishus HaRabim. The Rabbim have access to it, and therefore it's an Aveda. The second Lishna of Rabbi Yitzchak that establishes Refes as an absolute Hafka means as long as the animal's in the Refes, even though it could get out, and even though the Rabbim could get in, it doesn't matter. Refes is a Derech Hinuach kind of situation. Rely on the Bailim to come back to their Refes and retrieve their animal. There's no Chiyuv Hashava. The Mishnah says that Beveis HaKvaros Lo Yitamala, if the lost item is inside a Beis HaKvaros, then the Kohen is absolutely enjoined from entering in. Even if his father would tell him to go in, he doesn't listen to his father. And now the question is, why doesn't Kibud Av V'Em trump the Isur Tumah? Tana Rabbanan, Minayin Shim Omar Lo Aviv, Hitama, Osha Omar Lo Al Tachzir, Lo Shalo Yishmalo. We're not going to obligate the son to fulfill the mitzvah of Kibud Av and violate the mitzvah, either in the case of Tumas Kohen, the Isur of Tumas Kohen, or to violate the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. Shenemar Ish Imo V'Oviv Tiro V'Shapsosai Tishmoru. The Torah adds the Es Shapsosai Tishmoru here to teach us that although the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em is connected, it's so great, it's up there together with Shabbos, but nevertheless, Shabsos Tishmor puts a limit on the mitzvah of Mora Aviv V'Imo. Up until a point, you revere your parents, but not to the extent of violating a Shabsos Tishmor. Kulchem Chayovim B'Chvodi. Your parents have to respect HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in this case, the Shabbos. So the Gemara says, "Time of the Kosev Rachmanes Shabsosi Tshalav Hachi Avaminet Saito Lei." Why do we need this extra drush of Shabsosi Tishmoru to establish that I don't listen to my parents to violate the Shabbos? After all, with all due respect, Kabi Kibud Av V'Em is a mitzvah saseh, but Shabbos is a lot more than just a mitzvah saseh. Amai. Hi esse vai losa sevi esse, velo osi esse vidochi losa sevi esse. The power of Kibud Av V'Em as an esse is not greater, it cannot trump the power of Chil Shabbos, the severity of an esse with a losa se. And it's interesting that the Gemara at this point doesn't mention that Shabbos is an Isur Misa. That itself, even without the esse of a Shabsosai Tishmoru, would be enough lechora to trump Kibud Av V'Em. It's trich. I need the pasuk salkadait chamina hol v'hukash kibud av v'em lichvodo shel makom. Since the Torah has upgraded the status and the severity of mitzvahs kibud av v'em and equated it with kovod av makom shenemar, and this is based on gzeirah shava kavod es avir v'simecha v'nemar lahalan in mishlei, it says, with regard to Kvod Hashem, Kabed es Hashem Yoncha. So we have Kabed, Kabed. As I might think it so far as Kibud Av V'Em is upgraded and equated to Kvod Hashem, Hilkach Litzayisli, one should listen to his father, even if his father tells him to violate an Isur. It's Kamash Molan, therefore we need the Pasuk Hashem. So Tishmoru Delo Lishmale, to teach us that you don't listen to your father. And here you could clear the following famous Chakira. Does it mean that there is a mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em, but it doesn't, it, even though he's telling you to violate the Torah law, but it doesn't trump the Torah law? Or is the Torah telling me, Lo Yishmale, that in this case, there is no mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em at all? It's okay, the mitzvah Meikara. The Rashba points out that he, Lechora, doesn't understand the conflict here between Kibud Av V'Em and Hashavas Aveda. What does the father gain by his not returning the Aveda? Lechora, the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em, there are six scenarios of Kibud Av V'Em that are enumerated in the price and Kiddushin in the Sugi of Kibud Av V'Em. All of them have the common denominator of Hana, the father gets some sort of physical benefit from the Kibud. What physical benefit is he getting here from telling him Al Toshiv Es Aveda? And the Rashba says that the case that we're talking about is where his father says to him, don't get involved in Hashav Es Aveda, but rather bring me gozlos, you know, bring me something to eat, or some other type of physical service and physical pleasure. And I would have said that here we have a mitzvah Kibud Av V'Em, which is standing in absolute contradiction and conflict with the mitzvah Hashavas Aveda. And the Havmina was that Kibud Av V'Em is so so severe and it's upgraded to the level that it could be doche even a mitzvah of the Torah. We'll stop here.